Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Yeah, they do. They got to get
scrappy. That's the thing I think I'm looking at.
Andrew Wiggins has some great one-on-one moves. It gets Anthony Edwards. It gets Julius Randle. Yeah. Going to the basket, attacking the glass. He got a nice finger roll against Anthony Edwards. Just taking him from the rack, from the perimeter. I thought Wiggins was nice last night. But look, 18-36 from the three-point line. You get contributions all over the board. You brought up TJD. Just want to bring this up before we go to Oreo Cookie in Oakland. TJD, since being reinserted into the starting lineup, he started 14 consecutive games. And you look at the numbers, 10.5 points, 9 rebounds, averaging nearly a double-double. Now, the field goal percentage is 54%. You like that to be up around 60, 62 when it terms of field goal percentage, because he's going to be the roller on the pick and roll. And he's going to flush on somebody's head. He's got to finish a little better. There's no doubt. He's working on that. He's trying to duck off people's heads, but he's got to make his layups and develop a soft touch around the rim. But the energy, the effort, sprinting from baseline to baseline, in line to end line, 94 feet. I'm not mad at TJD's efforts over these last 14 games, man. He's been dynamic at the five spot for the Warriors.
It's no surprise to me that the younger guys with the younger legs are the ones that are providing a little spark here, and they need it. Like, the Warriors, I keep coming back to it. Curry's going to have to be awesome, right? Like, there's just no other way around it. Like, their margin of error is so thin. But I think you need to ride the younger guys a little more and play some of these energy guys. And yeah, there's going to be some ugly moments. Trust me. They're going to do dumb things. GP2 is going to throw it to Moody, who's getting hacked as he's falling out of bounds, and he's going to throw it back to him. And they're going to just, you know, have a brain fart here and there. But they make up for it in some of these other areas. And I think you have to rely on the youngsters a little more and more and more. It's the only course of action, I think, moving forward.
All right. That last segment was brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. As you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on a free Odyssey app. Let's get to Oreo Cookie in Oakland. Oreo Cookie, what's happening? You're on the Rust.
Hey, what up, guys? Morning. Just wanted to say it was a great win last night. Let's take W's when we can. Mm-hmm. I like the energy. I like the aggressiveness to the basket. We did the pick and roll a whole lot more often yesterday than I had seen most of the season. And what it did was it put pressure on the basket, whoever it was. I like Schroeder running it and Curry, obviously, because they can hit that little mid-range and do the layups or pass the ball. I liked our ball movement. I think we were aggressive on defense. Defense is a want-to stat, and yesterday we wanted it. And I can't help but notice the guy that wasn't on the court complaining to the referees, getting technical fouls. I think with the guy, less minutes for him would be positive for the younger guys just for their attitude and their want to.
I hear you. We'll see how this plays out. I do want to ask Dub Nation, it's been not even just a tumultuous 24 hours, but it's been a rocky 72 hours after the Toronto Raptors loss on Monday, losing to a team that had 8 wins on the season and had lost 16 of their previous 17 games. And it was doom and gloom. That was rock bottom as the Warriors fell below 500 for the first time all season. But what is Dub Nation thinking now? After all the quotes we heard yesterday from Steve Kerr, whether it was on Willard or Dibbs, Steph Curry, Anthony Slater, Draymond Green in the Vincent Goodwill article on Yahoo Sports. Then you had Kevin O'Connell just writing just nonsense in his article yesterday, Yahoo Sports. Maybe we'll touch on that. Just absolute inaccuracies all over the board. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but whatever. People are thirsty for clicks, and they want clicks, and they see an opportunity to be an opportunist. That's what they do. That's what they do these days. Anyway, here's what Steve Kerr said about the big picture conversation that's been going on around these parts. Here's what he said last night.
We didn't talk about it as a team. We're used to, you know, being in the spotlight. If there's a story about our team, it's going to go everywhere, and everyone's going to talk about it. And I hope there's not a misconception that we're not fighting and scrapping and hoping, you know, that we can, you know, do everything possible to keep this thing going, because that's what we're doing. But it almost feels like the narrative became, you know, the Warriors are giving in. We're not giving in. We're just not going to give away the future. That's the two totally different things. So we're fighting. You can see we've been competitive all year. We've had a few blowouts, but for the most part, our guys are competing like crazy. They play so hard every night. Just really nice to see them get rewarded, because it's a great group of guys.
It feels like a Yankee-like scrutiny going on right now for the
Warriors. That's a good call.
I mean, if I would have just took away his voice and I put Cashman's voice there, that feels like Cashman defending the Yankees. Does it not?
That is a good call.
Am I wrong?
Everything is life and death. Every single game. Every single
You're
game.
You're wasting
life and death.
Cheater's end of his career. Like, no, like I get that sense. Like, and look, I'm one of them. I'm in the bathtub with everyone. All right? We're all spoiled. We never thought we'd see this. And yeah, we want it to go on forever. All right? What, you don't like the bathtub, you know, analogy?
Hashtag pause. So a lot of you guys don't shower anyway. I don't want to get no bathtub water with you guys.
Okay, first off, bathing yourself is royalty back in the day. Okay, and so I've been watching a lot of samurai movies. I've been watching a lot.
Back in the day. Back in the day.
It's true. That's two kings would sit down in like a hot spring, and then they discuss stuff. Shogun. Anyway, exactly. This is a king's tale. No, but the reality is, like, we're all spoiled. We want this thing to go on forever, and we want to exhaust every resource on the planet to keep this thing going. We do. And it feels like we're a little unreasonable at times, myself included. Like, we just are. It's okay.
Steph
Curry. We don't want it to go away.
Asked about the mortgage in the future.
Yeah, we're all human. Like, your imagination can run wild at times. But first, like, anybody who's going to demand something of a franchise organization, like, is built on trust and communication. And the accountability, again, for me, for anybody who puts that jersey on, is to play your best. Have I played my best all year? More times than not, but there's been some lows. The challenge of trying to figure out how we put all these pieces together has been difficult, very inconsistent, but it can't kill your vibe of having optimism that you can figure it out. So it's a daily challenge. You got to remind yourself to just have fun and play with joy like we did tonight. The rest of it will work itself out.
All right, that's Steph Curry. Let's go to one of my favorites, Cam in Antioch. Cam in Antioch. What you got for me today? What you got for me, Cameron? I'm waiting on you. I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you to call in.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Never better.
Okay. Yeah, I was calling. I definitely ain't liking what Steph been saying. I mean, he cleared it up last night, but the night before, it did seem like they was waving a white flag, but they cleared it up. But how they keep saying, we don't want to mortgage the future. We're talking about sending second-round picks and expiring contracts. That's not going to kill our future. We can make little moves here and there. If y'all don't think it's going to make a championship run, but I think if Steph had the help, he could do anything.
Cam, can I ask you? Real quick, Cam, I want to ask you something. You follow the Dubs. Obviously, you listen to every podcast because you caught me on the podcast that I didn't even know existed.
When you think about this team,
do you think that they're actually not trying to make moves to try to get better? Like, you know, everybody just wants a trade to happen right away. Other teams work the phones too.
No.
Other teams get paid too, and they're working the phones, and they're not just going to send things to a piece and go to St. Warriors.
Trades are hard.
They are. They are hard. Y'all think they're easy.
I don't think Cam thinks they're easy.
No, I don't think they're easy. What did they just trade for? The Lakers just gave up for Dorian Smith and a Kogi.
D'Angelo Russell.
It wasn't that much. We could have sent the same thing. I know trades is hard, but they didn't use CP3 contract last year. They are trying to get under the tax bracket, and I understand that. I understand that. But it's small moves you can make. You can move off of people. You can move off of, I don't even want to say Looney, but move off of people and could get Vooch. Get different type of players. LaVine was available. I know his contract high, so I understand passing on him. But it's small moves we can make that will help this team out.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But I also understand, do not play the trades are hard. Like, Carmelo to the Knicks took like a year and a half.
Yeah. You know what Grant Liffitt told me? We can laugh at Grant Liffitt, but his Hawks are playing well. But he told me the biggest thing he's learned, and this is off the, he was like, yo, Bonte, the biggest thing I've learned and is eye-popping is that we worked on a deal for a year and a half trying to get one player. It took us a year and a half. He goes, I did not realize how difficult it was to execute a trade. Now, D'Angelo Russell has a lot of value, and he goes back to Brooklyn. Who knows how long the Lakers worked on that deal? Who? And then Anthony Slater joined the session, and I heard Nick Fornell. He joined Willard and Dibbs session. I was driving to the NBC. I mean, the Chicago Bulls are going to hold Vuk and LaVine until the deadline. They want a King's ransom at some point, or they're going to wait until they get the right deal. And they don't have to rush for anybody.
I wrote it down so I won't forget it. On the other side, I want to give you a real-life analogy on how all of us have changed in the last 25, 30 years in terms of our patience level. And it has to do with sports, but it has to do with real life. And it's not
your
our fault.
Your patience level? Your
it's
patience
not our
level?
Fault. It's not. I'm going to defend all of us.
No. Your patience. Defend when you say all of us. What do you mean
I
by
mean all
of us?
I mean all of us.
No. I have patience. I'm a very patient human being.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, I'm very patient. Very patient. I'm not. I'm definitely the most patient
None
around
of us
here.
Are patient.
You guys are all well, always for JW. You just sitting
when it comes
at you
to
guys.
Hitting breaks, you're definitely patient.
Dude, that yeah. is for sure.
Hey, these breaks don't no matter, hurry. Man. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. We're coming up, brought to you by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water.
He was brilliant from the start. I hate that his minutes are creeping up. I don't like it. We got to do what we got to do. Hopefully, as we get reinforcements back, we'll be able to get him back down to that 32 range. But tonight, we had to kind of let it rip. And you know, he's got a couple days before the next game. It was important to get this win, and he got it done.
Cub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those breaks, Monte.
3 for 3 today, Steve Kerr. On my count, 3 for 3. Shooting 1,000% last 2 days. When
wide
hitting
variance
breaks.
On hitting.
Hitting the brakes. What time was our break? 7:13, 7:14? Who the hell cares? We just like talking.
The break's about 7:20.
We don't even need a break on the show. We can talk 4 hours straight if we want. You know, some people may need their heads held at time. Not us. We don't get help on this show, that's for sure.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
10 for 21, 7 of 12 for the 3-point line, 31 points, 8 assists for the chef, and the biggest mic drop yesterday, telling everybody on Twitter to calm the hell down, take your fake trades off the board. We got this. Shut up and watch. We got this around here. We're good. Matter of fact, I can't get enough of this quote. Oh, had me on the high last night.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like we know we can be competitive, and we showed you know that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series. And we have a whole lot of confidence that we can beat anybody. So yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Bonte, we live in an impatient society. I'm guilty of this. We get greedy. We don't realize how good we have it. I'm going to go back in the way back time machine. Tupac came out with a song, California Love, and I'll never forget. MTV did this whole big spiel on how the video was made and everything and the big release. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they even had like a part two.
Yeah.
E-40 was in it. It came out the first week of December. Now, this is back. I'm in like 6th or 7th grade. Okay. Yeah, exactly. 6th or 7th grade. And back then, Tower Records was at Stonestown. And me and my boys, Rocco, Kevin, and all, we would go to Stonestown every Tuesday because new albums used to get released.
New albums every Tuesday, yeah.
So again, December of 95, the beginning is when California Love comes out. And I was waiting every week for All Eyes on Me to drop the full album. Now, they would sell you the CD single, but I wanted the full album. And we had to wait. And wait, and wait. And every Tuesday, we would go. You had Sam Goody up top. You had Tower Records. Yep. And we'd go and we'd wait. Did the album up? No, it didn't. Got pushed back another week. I looked it up to make sure. If you would have told me it took 3 years between California Love Video being released and All Eyes on Me, the album coming out, I would have believed you. Because at that point in my life, it felt like 3 years. It came out February 13th. I had to wait basically 2 months. It felt like a lifetime. Just the other day, I needed a pair of socks. This is the truth. I ordered socks. At 9 a.m., I ordered them. By 4 p.m., I was wearing them. Amazon delivered them that day. I was wearing them that day. I didn't even leave the couch. I am so spoiled by how quick everything comes to me. I've got a phone. I can order DoorDash without leaving the house. We're just in an impatient society. Why is the food taking so long? Bro, you're getting a burrito delivered to you in like 17 minutes. It's spectacular. It's spectacular.
So are you talking to yourself?
This in third person? Is the society we are in.
Is this third person, Shasky?
We can't be patient, and I am guilty of it. Yes, and so are you.
Oh no, I'm patient.
We want it.
No, don't put me in that boat. Don't put me in that boat.
Grinding on weekends, grinding at night, thinking, when's my chance gonna come? I was lucky. I got an opportunity early on. There's a lot of people that go their whole career that don't get opportunities. Yes, B. We live in an impatient society. So when I look at the Golden State Warriors and they've spoiled us with championships because they deliver the socks to you within like 2 hours, you don't even have to leave the house. Yeah, waiting a couple of weeks for a trade, we're losing our minds because we've been set up with false expectations of excellence for a decade. We have, and we're spoiled, and I'm one of them. We all are. And so listen to the guy right here, the Jeff Bezos of the Warriors, Steph Curry, tell you, everybody put the Twitter fingers down. Yeah, the package got delayed, but it's going to get delivered at some point. And I'm not saying they're winning championships. I'm just saying the trade is probably coming, or combination of trades. It's just not here yet. So just everyone relax, myself included. I know you love that.
You're just talking about yourself being impatient. You're an impatient human being.
We all are.
No, you are.
Self-awareness is a skill.
I've worked with you for 5 years. I know how impatient you are.
Coming from the maker of Kirk Cousins is on the table in the second quarter of a playoff
game. No, I didn't say that he was. It is on the table. He was. Was he not?
We're all guilty of this.
No. I didn't say replace Brock Purdy. I didn't say that. I didn't say anything. I just said Kirk Cousins is on the table. Better win this game. Because Kirk Cousins would have been on the table. Am I wrong?
I think we did this exercise and we looked into the group chat and all Bonte said was Kirk Cousins. That's all he said.
That's all I said.
That's all he said. You can interpret it how right. you want.
I interpreted it exactly the way I said it.
I'm the patient guy because Shasky, my patience patient drives guy. Shasky crazy. Out of all the guys on the show, who's patient? Calm the waters. Just chill a little bit. There's going to be some hairy moments. We just had a 13-year run in this region where outside of Boston, nobody can boast about the success this market has had with our professional sports teams. Not one outside of Boston.
So you're the patient one, yet you leave Niner games early to avoid traffic.
Well, I have a daughter.
That kind of makes sense.
It kind of makes sense. We have a morning show. I don't want to get stuck in an hour and a half and then get home at 7 o'clock and have to turn around and come to work on a Monday.
Wouldn't a patient individual just go with the flow?
No. That's stupidity. Oh, yeah, let me just sit in traffic for an hour in my car and listen to the it's just not smart. Might as well leave a little early, watch the rest of the game on television. It's using maximizing efficiency.
We're all impatient,
maximizing
dude.
Cell phones to watch the game. And no, I'm not perfect at
all.
We're
all spoiled.
I'm not perfect at all. But when it comes to sports, I've developed a lot of patience. I have.
So, from the maker of Super Bowl or Bust, Shanahan better find his quarterback. It's year eight.
It is year eight. How many coaches get?
Eight years being patient.
Right.
Like,
I mean, come on.
There are lines here, Shasky. There are times where you can put your patience aside. Eight years for a quarterback. Like,
another 30 years. Be patient.
Yeah, well,
that's what I'm going to say next time the Niners lose a big game.
No. I didn't say be patient. No, we're all frustrated about them not winning.
Like
but at least they're in a position to win. At least they become relevant.
Look, I'm acknowledging my flaws. I'm a very impatient individual, like all of you. And I've been spoiled in life because there are things that have happened that have recalibrated my expectations. The Warriors winning championships screwed up everything in my mind. If I would go back in time and tell 23-year-old Joe that 42-year-old Joe would be furious that the Warriors are 500 in January. I'd slap myself for being so stupid.
You know, 262, Bonte Willard would be the patient Homer show. No. Willard will tell you how everything is great no matter what. I'm not going to do that to you. I won't tell you everything is great because everything is not great with the Warriors right now. They're 20-20, all right? Everything is not great. So you can take the messaging all you want to. I just call it like it is. But I have two girls at home, Anna and baby Chaz. It's forced me to be even more patient. See, you got little LJ. You're chilling, playing catch or whatnot. I got two baby girls.
We're all impatient. It's just the society we're in.
I think some people just have different levels of impatience.
It's the society we're in.
Well, like Bonte's impatience is different from your impatience, correct. Jasky.
You know what? Give up your phone, and you should just send everything via telegraph then.
Oh, I love that. I would
bring
love
back
that.
Messenger pigeons.
Fax machines.
Fax machines. I would love that. Oh, I love that.
He puts it on a raven like it's Game of Thrones.
Watching sporting events
King,
without the phone.
Get me a raven.
Is a revelation.
Scroll.
Oh, I'll telegram all day long. The hell with these cell phones. That's part of the problem. Man, get rid of these cell phones. Get rid of all the smartphones.
Just real quick. How many hours, when you get the update on Sunday, how many hours do you average on the phone?
I haven't gotten the updates lately.
Oh, did you turn that off? You can turn that off.
Oh, I guess I did turn it off. I don't know. I'm on my phone
quite
a bit.
What are you at, Spadoni?
No, I want to know what you're at first. Now I'm nervous. I got like 5 hours.
I'm about 4.5.
Okay, yeah. That's about right.
And I feel horrible saying that out loud.
But the nature of our business, we kind of have to be checking in a lot of stuff. Like that's the, not a lot of people will call BS on that, but like we have to be tapped in on Twitter all the time.
This is how neurotic I am. This is how neurotic I am. I will force myself to use the iPad to watch certain things so that I know that my screen time goes down on the phone.
See, I think
because
cheating.
I'm so neurotic about God, I don't want to like lose my vision, but yet I'm staring at an iPad.
Well, now I need to know your iPad screen time.
I don't even look at that.
So we're talking about patience level right now. Like, what is the patience level with Warriors fans with this Dubs team right now?
Yeah,
because
very thin.
Well, it's all over the place. Oscar seems to be patient.
I mean, come on.
Cam's not.
Well, Cam's not patient. We know that. He wants to trade. What about J-Dub in Union City? Is he patient? Are you patient? Or are you ready to rock? Are you patient with this Dubs team? Where's your patience level at?
I have no choice but to be patient. Y'all remember, I'm from Atlanta. It's been a lifetime since I've seen some of my teams win championships. I have no choice.
Thank you, J-Dub. Hey,
but
can you real quick,
this way, Bonte,
real quick, Jordan, real quick, out of Via Shasky, come on, you got to know I'm patient, right? I'm the patient one, right?
Oh, of course you are, because I'll put it this way. Your patience might work because Kirk Cousins is still available. You can gladly take him if you want him, so that's still available. But
he's going to be available.
But I'll ask y'all this. Because Shasky, you made this reference right with the Yankees comment. I loved it, and I think I loved it for two reasons. One, the point that you brought up, but I looked at it a different way. With the reputation of the Yankees that they've built over the years, right? It's if they don't spend the money, they don't make this big trade, they don't do something, that means they're not doing anything, right? And I think about with the Warriors, and I think this really started. Obviously, I know they got Kevin Durant, but it really started more recently. When Brian Windhorst made the comment that he did, right, about, you know, the checkbook championship, which, again, that's the whole agenda and mindset then. It's like, okay, the Warriors, they do whatever it takes. They're going to spend the money or make a certain trade to win it, which, I mean, y'all just played a team, which just because you make a trade, you don't make a trade just to make one.
Mm.
The Timberwolves just got worse by making that trade, right? So I think their window, of course, they have such a bright superstar with Anthony Edwards. You know, you try to take advantage of that as much as you can, but they just made that window worse. So that's how I kind of viewed it when you're talking about the Yankees. I'm curious to see what y'all think about that.
I agree with you. And what has ended up happening is, look, the sad thing is that it's a beautiful thing. They've won so much, and they've done so much excellence in such a short amount of time. This is now, like, this is the demand and the standard that they've set for themselves. And they're a victim of their own success to a degree. But it's also what they want to be held by. Like, if you ask Joe Lacob, like, what is the standard you want your fans to hold you to? He would say a team like the Yankees and the Lakers, would he not?
No, he wants to be there.
And I think Steph Curry would want to be held to the standard of a Michael Jordan.
Joe Lacob, remember he held that press conference before the NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics. He goes to the podium and he goes, Jerry Buss went to 16 NBA finals in 33 years. That's what he wants. After they beat Boston, I go, man, one away from tying Eddie DeBartolo. He knew, but he looked at me, he goes, how many championships did he have? I go, 5. He goes, oh, okay. Yes, he wants to be the Lakers of the 80s.
Yeah.
He wants to be the Celtics of the 60s and 70s. That's what he wants. So the other rhetoric that just, because it makes me sound like I'm a team employee, and I already see the tweets every single day. I tweet something positive about the Warriors. Oh, you're on the payroll, blah, blah, blah. When I'm not on the payroll, we're for NBC and Odyssey. But I have a hard time subscribing to Joe Lacob doesn't want to win.
Well, that's...
He's sabotaging the organization because Steph gets all the shine. You see this stuff on Twitter, and it's just like, it's asinine. It's actually dumber than dumb, if that's even possible, right? The man has paid the luxury tax bill over and over and over again.
Have you ever met a person in real life who walked up to you and was like, anyone, family, friends, anyone, Joe Lacob doesn't want to win?
No.
In real life.
In real life?
Never.
Sometimes.
I've never had it happen.
Sometimes. Okay. Sometimes these fans.
But you're also there more than
but
me.
Yeah, so someone was like, man, Joe's got to do something
How
about this, man.
Is
Joe.
That?
Not often. Twitter's out of control with it. But it's like, this man has paid the luxury tax, and I've seen owners in all across sports for many, many years not want to pay the tax, not want to spend an extra dime, want to get a handout. The guy, for crying out loud, wanted to win so bad he traded for Kelly Oubre Jr. paid. How much was that deal? In hindsight, it was like $65 million because of the tax. He paid for Kelly Oubre Jr. 1 year, basically $65 million, if I'm not mistaken. The guy wants to win. Now, do you make all the right moves? Do you make all the right? No, you're going to make wrong decisions. You're going to make bad decisions. You're going to take some L's on some moves. You just are. That's sports. Nobody's batting 1,000%. But some of the craziness that I see for fans is the Joe Lacob thing. And not all fans. Again, social media, maybe some on the street. But that Joe Lacob doesn't want to win. That's why I thought yesterday leaving the show, I was thinking to myself, what the hell does Joe Lacob think about the comments he's reading?
Oh, he was probably livid. Probably livid. Well, the big, like for you, this Joe Lacob doesn't want to win rubs you wrong. Well, for me, it's always like, for example, and we say it, and I think we mean it metaphorically, but some people mean it like literally. Barry Bonds built AT&T Park. Okay. Barry being around helped sponsors want to buy in, but Peter McGowan and Larry Bear and their business acumen and the city of San Francisco coming together and striking a deal, that's really what's set up. And then giant season ticket holders buying in on PSLs, that financed the stadium, okay? Because you have to finance it. You can have the greatest player of all time. That doesn't mean that you have money backing it up. Steph Curry built Chase Center. Metaphorically, yes. We all agree. No, who's denying? Cash flow-wise? Like, yes, it helped their bottom line, but them having billions of dollars of a mortgage to help put down on land that was ready to be developed, like, I it's a stretch too far. Metaphorically, yes, I agree with you. But, like, it has to actually meet pen to paper, and it's got to make sense for a bank to give you, $1.5 billion loan. I mean, I don't think people understand the finances of it. You sound like a bunch of people who have never bought a piece of property.
The Warriors, as we segue, play 8 of their next 9 games at home, and this is where they've got to start stacking some wins. At home, they've not been good last season. They were 21-20 at home. They've got to reestablish some sort of home court advantage. Start Saturday against the Wizards. You get the Celtics on Monday at 2 p.m. A weird start time on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. 2 p.m. afternoon tilt at Chase Center. But then you go to Sacramento for a quick one on Wednesday night. Then you come back down, play the Bulls Thursday, Lakers Saturday, Jazz, OKC, Phoenix, Orlando. You have a great opportunity here to really stack some wins at home and reestablish your home court advantage, which is one I want to see at Chase Center. Now, the players are going to have to play hard. You got to infuse some energy into this crowd. But this crowd, I would like to see this fan base try to get behind this team as well. Show the Warriors. Because the crowd has been taking a lot of hits, especially the San Francisco portion crowd. Like, oh, man, it's not the same. Look at them. Empty seats. They're not back at their seats at the beginning of the third quarter, blah, 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 blah. But I do want to see the Warriors on this road trip reestablish their home court advantage. Because if we're going to be scrappy, you're going to be small, you're going to be a little slower than other teams, Well, you need every advantage possible. You got to get the 50-50 balls. You got to get the scrappy balls, the offensive rebounds. You got to get the points off turnovers. But also, you need this crowd to get behind you and get loud and make it really uncomfortable, because these teams are coming in to chase it, Oshaski, and getting way too comfortable too early in the basketball game. I saw it with Miami. I saw it with Indiana. We're seeing it in these blowouts here. They've got to reestablish home court advantage. They're going to have to do it with their play. There's no doubt. No doubt. This crowd's got to be better.
I'm just looking at this home schedule. I mean, coming up here, it's nice. I mean, it's nice. Celtics?
8-9. 8-9.
Celtic? No, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of,
teams?
Marquee teams. Yeah, to go see. Like, Wizards, whatever. Saturday, though. It's a Saturday game.
Jordan Poole's coming back.
Celtics? That's going to be fun. Like, the Warriors and Celtics play fun brands of basketball when they've played each other over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And then you go up to, obviously, the GC1, and then you get the Bulls.
G1C.
Maybe you make a deal.
G1C.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You go to 1-7.
Yeah. You get Bulls. Maybe you make a deal. Get a good look at Zach LaVine and Vucevic and your boy Kobe White.
They're not going to give up Kobe White, even though I would love them to give up Kobe White.
We'll get a good look at him.
Kobe White is so good.
And then you get LeBron.
You still and get Anthony up for LeBron? Davis. You get up for LeBron?
Well, maybe. I know that Draymond's good and ready for the pregame dap up.
Anthony Davis.
Was he going to actually play in this one, or is he going to get?
He never does. He always gets hurt or something. I don't know.
Big win for the Lakers last night against the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Big win.
Emotional win.
Emotional. After getting blown out by San Antonio the other night.
Then you're bringing in Lowry Marketing. Maybe Danny Ainge just comes in, just goes to the half court like he's Tommy Lasorda. The whole place can boo him.
What's exciting about these games is, like, there's no gimmies anymore for the Golden State Warriors.
No.
Because after that Raptors loss, like, there's no such thing as a gimme anymore.
No.
Like, record-wise, you should beat the Wizards, who stink and are the worst team in the NBA.
Not
but would I be shocked if they lost to them?
They
no.
just lost to the Toronto Raptors.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the last three games of this upcoming homestand, it's Oklahoma City.
Oof.
Phoenix.
I love watching them play.
Phoenix and Orlando. And Paolo's back. Paolo Bancaro's back. And they're playing some good basketball in Orlando. So I can't wait to see Paolo in person. You know, that's one of my favorite players.
Did you see Paolo Bancaro on the internet?
I did not see Paolo Bancaro.
So there was
on the
a kid who wore a white polo under his jersey, and he was wearing Yeezys because I guess he forgot his gym shoes or whatever in a game, and everyone was calling him Paolo Bancaro.
I did not see that.
Because he was wearing a polo under his under his jersey. It was pretty funny.
A little horsepower on his shirt. A little horsepower. It's 2 Chainz would say. Horsepower. Horsepower. All this polo on, I got horsepower. Oh, I love that line. 888-957-9570.
Did you pop the collar, Bonte, back in the day? Did you pop the collar?
Oh, did I pop collars? Absolutely pop collars.
With one pant leg up?
No, I didn't do the one pant leg like LL Cool J. I didn't have a swag for that, but
this
I would definitely
Gabe
pop
Ortiz
a collar.
Always had the one pant leg up. He's out there somewhere. I know you're listening.
Who's Gabe Ortiz?
He grew up in Bernal and played baseball with me. He always had the one pant leg up. That was the big thing in St. Mary's Park. Everybody had one pant leg up.
That was a big thing, period.
Well, I know. I'm just saying in St. Mary's Park in particular, where we all grew up playing.
I hear you. Let's hear from Andrew Wiggins.
Pant leg.
Who,
do you know who we're talking about?
His Andrew Wiggins.
Before me, the pant leg thing. Yeah.
We're that old?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are like 10 years older than us, so there's a little gap.
I feel young at heart. I don't know about you.
We're still both Andrew millennials, Wiggins. Though. If that
I'm patient. I'm aging like,
hey, my patience, man, I will fight you on that one. My patience level is high. I have a lot
I'll
of patience.
I'll fight you on how patient I am.
Are you losing patience with his doubting your patience?
A little bit, because he's got the ADD around here and the lack of patience, and he puts us all in this boat with him. He wants to take, what did he say? Let's all get in the bathtub together. I think somebody on the text line said, are our legs touching or not?
It makes me very uncomfortable.
That makes me very uncomfortable thinking about bath time with Joe Shasky. Maybe we get that on the image on a YouTube slide.
Use AI to generate it.
Well, you're patient. You got to deal with us
Lubman
every single day.
Is not patient.
Oh, you have no idea the level of patience I have to exhibit
every
day.
This is the guy who's sprinting down the hall.
No, I don't do that anymore. I stopped doing that, remember? I learned the error of my ways.
Spadoni's patient.
Spadoni might have the most patience on the show. Because he has to deal with me behind the glass.
That's all right. It's just it's part of the job. It's all right. You know, I have to have a level of patience with some things, but other things, like if you've like driven in a car with me, I get my dad's kind of little, not road rage per se, but I get very peeved if people don't want to drive. That's mine. That's my one thing. Shout out Odyssey. There
Shout
you go.
Out Odyssey.
I'll second that.
Andrew Wiggins. He's oblivious to all the outside noise.
Never seen anything. What happened?
Do you follow coverage about this team at all?
Man, I just... I go home or I go to my hotel room, watch my TV shows, and I just chill. I don't be looking too much.
The general talking points over the last few days is Steph and Steve have talked about, you know, not wanting to mortgage the future for, like, this moment. You know, do you feel kind of like, I guess, the pressure that's kind of on these fading, you know, years with Steph and kind of those type of, I guess, talking points?
You want to win. That's the main thing. You want to win. I feel like we have the roster to do it. We have Steph Curry, and Steph Curry is who he is. You know, he's one of the greatest players to ever touch a basketball. We just got to keep playing hard. I mean, we have the squad to do it. We started off 12-3. We know we're capable of. We just got to get back to it.
That's the most least surprising answer of all time. Of all the guys, if I were to say, who doesn't care what's going on the online or whatever, it would be Andrew Wiggins and probably Kevon Looney.
And there's no doubt.
Right?
No doubt.
At the top.
No doubt. And I love that. He goes, man, I'm just going to my room. I'm chilling. I'm watching TV shows. When I hear about him on road trips for many years, Andrew Wiggins doesn't even leave the hotel room. He's chilling. He is the definition of chill. But you know what? On the court yesterday, he wasn't chilling. He was aggressive. And that's what they're going to need from him. But he's had it. Look, I hope people bought stock into Andrew Wiggins. You guys thought I was a homer with that and that I was just on the payroll talking about Andrew Wiggins. I hope you bought stock into him because he's having a solid season.
No, he is.
He is.
I can't keep coming. It's hard to not continue to revert back to he's having a really solid season. But the 2 months that he had in the playoffs, he was Superman. I mean, the guy was unreal. Unreal. We were just probably never going to get that version back.
We might. We might.
He could still be a really, really, really good, valuable player.
We might. We might see that guy. He played like
a man possessed.
We've got a long way to go here. 40 games down. 42 to go. Now, when it comes to the bet with Draymond Green, I'm starting to lose hope on that. 65 games. He's missed 3 games in a row. He's missed 7 now. We got some wiggle room, maybe about 10 games. You got some back-to-backs. It's going to come down to the wire when it comes to that. But Wiggins is playing well. And then you get the chef. What was that?
Said, I think I'm winning that bet.
This is going to be me and you. I ain't.
A patient man might take us all out to eat.
Those other two guys who interjected themselves into the bet. Trying to make it all about themselves.
Pretty sure we were in that bet the entire time.
They could stay their asses at home.
That was our reward for finding the sound of said bet to actually, you know, put the parameters around it. So that was our reward.
You're rewarding the patience that we have.
Yes.
The parameters should be there's an injury clause, right?
No, we've gone over this. That's pulled the sound.
It's baked in. It's like cheese in the lasagna. You chose it's the part sound, of the recipe.
You chose the sound to play. There was more sound about that
bet.
There was
no more sound.
No, and us, we went off for about 20 minutes
Are
about that bet.
Are you accusing us of tampering? Is that what you're saying? Spygate? You think this is Spygate over here?
I do think there's some tampering that goes on around here. There's some narratives being built. This is how you guys get down around this station. I mean, tampering.
Here.
I do want a checkbook win.
How about this? I will allow you to retcon the deal right now, but I want all the odds.
I'm sorry. I hate to break the narrative.
I gotta roll with the bet, man. I'll roll with it. It's making it fun. It's fun.
Apparently, Guru made a bet yesterday with Steiny in regards to the knockout tournament. And? I think I may have this wrong, but I was listening yesterday around before they had the crossover. $50 Guru has on himself to win.
Oh.
Yeah, but, the knockout tournament.
Wait, so it's him or the field?
Yes.
Oh, my
And Steiny wins 50, I guess, if Guru doesn't
the
win.
Easiest oh, my 50 gosh.
Can
so
I get in on that
win.
Bet?
You could be a great basketball player, and you hit off the back iron, and it goes flying off. You know what I mean? Like,
can I get in on that bet, Goo? I'll take his 50.
He's
not winning a knockout tournament.
It's a big bet for a guy who had 0 rebounds in the knockout tournament last year.
Wow, Lubin.
Damn.
Whoa!
Damn.
Goo, I got your back. I was just throwing it out there.
Damn.
If you were to put $50 on anyone here at the station.
To win?
Who would it be? Yeah, if you had to.
It'd be myself. I meant to fight a 4 last year. I don't know what you're talking
what
about.
What is the knockout tournament this year, Bonte?
January, the knockout tournament.
So quickly.
Second annual knockout tournament, 95-7 a game. With a chance to shoot hoops at Chase Center. We did that at Chase Center last season. There's a video out there by the great Whitley Sandrino, our digital manager here at Odyssey, where I'm making a half-court shot. I made a half-court shot. And then Lubman walked into the gym. And Lubman, wore my words when I walked into the gym.
You hit him with the Larry Bird, who's coming in second.
Exactly.
You didn't win.
on the court like I'm Kobe or LeBron.
Hey, honestly, Bonte walked in there because we walked in late. Bonte walked in there, zero warming up whatsoever, finished top four. Like,
just like
for a guy who once said on TV that he sucks at hoops, he balled out that day.
I really didn't suck at hoops. I'll cook a lot of people in my heyday. But listen, I told everybody who's finishing the second. And guys got shook. Half the battle, half the field was done right then and there, mentally. Because it's also a mental game.
You
got to know when to talk. Like, Lucas Alexander was so rattled when I missed and got knocked out. Lucas celebrated like he won the whole damn thing.
You Lance Stevenson him?
That's how much I get under people's skin when it comes to trash talking. I've mastered the art of trash talking, especially in this knockout tournament. So, you got to have 3 weeks to qualify starting January 27th. 8 a.m. hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour. Three chances a day for 3 weeks to partake in the second annual knockout tournament here at 95.7 The Game. You must be 18. You must be a California resident. But it's going to go down. It's Grandy, man. Mark Grandy won the championship last season. A very good performance for Mark Grandy.
Well, I might put my 50 on him just because he's young enough with enough energy and enough willpower. And I know how he's a hustler. He's a try-hard guy. Got a lot of that Guy Santos in him. So I could see him winning again.
What about you? Are you ready to roll?
I'm too old. I'm shot. I'm cooked.
Oh.
Lacks of patience.
Yeah.
He lacks patience.
I do. No, but like knowing my luck. Knowing my luck. I shoot. It's in and out. It comes falling down. Some like 7-year-old left-handed off the backboard banks me. I'm out. That's how it works, dude. I play knockout every Tuesday and Thursday at our practice, and it's just so random.
This is the official 95.7 The Game knockout round guru at the foul line.
So, Steiny, I don't know if you know Keith, Mr. Jennings. He
remember, you only have 10 seconds to shoot the free throw.
Be quiet, Steiny. Here we go.
Bye.
All right, guru shot is up. It misses.
You got to get it, Guru.
It misses, and the other guy has made it. And Guru is eliminated. Donald the Guru Johnson has been eliminated. He has been eliminated.
I lost. I'm out.
Dude,
Donald the Guru Johnson has been eliminated.
I'm out.
The happiness in Steiny's voice is just incredible. Also, when we play knockout, we start at the free throw line, right? And whoever wins knockout, and when I play with my youth teams, they get to choose the next location of where everyone gets to start their shots from, which I think is fun. We go to the corner, you go here, you go there, and so you can go from three-point land, half court. It makes it fun.
It is a fun game. Always fun game. Always fun game.
It's always fun game.
888-957-9570 is the number. Where's your patience level at when it comes to the Golden State Warriors? Are you willing to be patient and let Dunleavy cook? Or are you impatient and you want to see a move right away?
Does that win do anything for anyone in terms of changing things? Because I do feel like we saw some glimpses of how they could turn this thing around. With the energy, it's the energy and the little stuff and the activity from all of the role players. That was huge.
Now, the win got you back to 500. You're in tie for ninth place in the Western Conference. But the win on top of this comment has me on the high right now.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
So when the head honcho says that, the franchise, and he says people need to just shut up and chill, I had to pep up myself saying, okay, he's locked in. The sleeves are rolled up. These guys aren't giving in. There's no white flag being waved around here. 42 games left.
Did you appreciate that he addressed it head on?
Oh, I loved it. Loved every second of it.
Not to like parse everything he's saying. I think there's a lot in that one quote. Mm-hmm. I agree with him. Like, everyone trying to make trades. Like, I get it, and I'm guilty of it. Trust me. But him saying, like, this is a unique season, and maybe I'm just taking, I'm glomming on to a couple of words. Is it that unique? I mean, we've been trending in this direction for a couple years.
So he was maybe discussing the landscape of the Western Conference. You know, hey, look, you're three games behind the loss column, behind fifth place. You're going a little roll here over the next couple weeks. They're going to move back up in the standings.
How is that different?
And
from
we've
last
had a lot of different. We had a lot of different lineups. Well, they've all talked about the vibe being better this year. They talked about the vibe.
Well, I meant
this
the
and the
standing
vibe
thing
back
that you said.
Well, the standing thing.
Weren't they all jumbled last year, too?
They were jumbled last year, and they ended up finishing in 10th place because you had a guy miss 17 games in Draymond Green. You didn't have your full lineup. There's a lot of murkiness there. You lose in a play-in game. I'm looking at last year. I've left out the rear view. I'm looking at this team because it does look like Jonathan Kuminga is now being elevated on this basketball team, and we saw that from December 1st. So now I know JK's in the mix. I know Wiggins is back. You know, Wiggins was up and down last year. There's no doubt about that. He had a career low in points, field goal percentage. Wiggins was awful last year. He's a lot better. So I'm not saying they're going to a championship. I'm not saying they're making a deep playoff run. But hearing that from Stephen Curry, I think gave me a little confidence saying, okay, they're not giving up on the year. Not that I thought they would give up on the year, because I just thought the timing of the Colts was just, it's like, wait a minute here. Why are we talking like this? We've got 40-plus games left.
Well, they had to address Draymond's quote in another article.
No doubt.
You know, that's why. And it was, you know, you never hear the head coach and the best player back-to-back say what they were saying. It was odd. I think it was worthy of discussion.
We all
crushed them yesterday, and they showed up last night, and they played inspired basketball.
They held on
for dear life.
They played inspired basketball. By the way, some breaking news here. We lost Icon, Brewers play-by-play voice for a number of years. Baseball Hall of Famer Bob Uecker passed away today at the age of 90, the voice of Major League 1 and 2. We know him for his quirkiness.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Is he best known for that, you think?
Major League?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's how I knew him. That's how I was introduced. I didn't know that he was the voice of the Brewers.
I'm with you on that.
He did a lot of Miller Lite commercials.
Great call. Yeah. God, just a baseball character that we all deemed lovable, right? Like, just one of the more beloved characters.
Absolutely.
Gosh.
Absolutely.
90s a great life, though.
Synonymous with the Brewers. Obviously, done the Brewers broadcast since 1971. Served as a play-by-play announcer for their radio broadcast since 1971. Obviously, became known for his self-deprecating wit. It became a regular fixture on late night shows. He was, I mean, everywhere. Mr. Belvedere, Major League Baseball, of course, Major League, the movies 1 and 2. So rest in peace to Bob Uecker, man. That's a hell of a run for him.
For the younger guys, is he more synonymous with the Brewers than like a Robin Yount or a Paul Molitor or any of those guys for you guys? Like, I'm curious how you younger guys view him. He's one of the forefront Dodger characters.
Bob Uecker was the Brewers.
Okay,
he's the Brewer. Like, when I think of
him, you know who Robin Yount is.
Like, well, I know he's a Hall of Famer. I know he's one of the greatest players ever in the history of Brewers. But certain people, like Vin Scully, was the Dodgers.
Yes,
yeah.
Like that supersedes. It's like that's how I'll think of him. And obviously, being Harry Doyle, one of the great characters
of all time
in the history of just sports movies ever. Right,
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering, just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. All eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches.
Now, yes, Bob Uecker, Brewers legend, but for me, like, I associate him with Major League and with Cleveland. Like, for me, like, when I was in Miami, I got to call some Miami baseball games, and I'll be honest, I had to get just a bit outside in there at one point just to say that I did it. Like, this is a hard loss, and it's unfortunate. Rest in peace to a true legend in Bob Uecker / Harry Doyle.
I always think, like, it's so hard to break in with a personality like that in like, the rigid play-by-play world. You know, like Kevin Dana, who's trying to, on the come up or whatever, is so unique and has so many different, like, catchphrases and cliches. Mm-hmm. And to me, they're all authentic. Like, these are him coming up with stuff. And it's so unique. And it's so hard to be a unique broadcaster in this day and age. And guys like Bob Uecker are freaking legends.
It helped that he played the game, right? It helped that he was a member, that he played with the Cardinals, the Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, and later on the Atlanta Braves. Of course, he played with the Braves when they were in Milwaukee as well and won the World Series with St. Louis. So I think it helps a guy like him that he was a player. So people already respect him because they assume that, hey, he played the game. He knows the game.
Well,
just like Kruk and Kipe, their unique personalities, they were able to be themselves in that quirkiness, even though they weren't great major, but they played the game. And I think that respect right then and there gives you a lot more patience when they're calling the game.
No doubt, but I think a lot of people that have been watching, especially Kiper, very few guys play the game and become the play-by-play guy.
Right.
Normally they're the quote-unquote color guy. Animals, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, no it's doubt. Unique. And a lot of people like, Kipe played? Like, a lot of people find that out in real time.
Did you know that you played?
What?
Did you know that you played?
Yes.
Yeah, see? And he became a play-by-play voice. So
he's one of the greatest baseball characters there are.
No doubt about that. So rest in peace for him as he passed away today at the age of 90. With that said, let's get you the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, will we see Pods on the court soon? People forgot about Brandon Podziemski. Steve Kerr gave an update on his health earlier this week, saying the Warriors guard is running at full speed practice, but there's still no set date for him to return to action. He's been out since December 28th. And that was a win over the Phoenix Suns with an abdominal injury. So he's been out. Gary Payton II, they returned yesterday for the Warriors after missing 10 games with a left calf strain. Draymond Green has missed 3 straight games due to an illness and back injury. And JK, of course, has been injured. What game was that where he got injured? He stepped on old boy's foot. What game was that? Right now. How do I not remember that? But he's been out, and he's out of his walking boot, though. Jonathan Kuminga is out of his walking boot, which is a good deal. That was against the Memphis Grizzlies, I believe. He got hurt against the Memphis Grizzlies on a Saturday. So, JK has been out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. Hopefully, it's not too much longer for Jonathan Kuminga. But that is the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Are you back on board, Dub Nation? What did that win do for you last night? I'm very curious. After the last 48 hours we've had, I'm going to ask Shaskin, I'm going to ask Lubman, ask Padone, what did that win do for you last night? 888-957-9570. Is it just a one-off? Is it just a blip in the radar? Are they truly back? I want to hear from Warrior fans. 888-957-9570 is the number. What did that win do for you last night? That's coming up on a game brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you and here for good.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.